The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Barcanada here at the D in lovely Las Vegas. Kelly's popping his collar already. You good? Happy Thanksgiving, man.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Every day I'm going to say that to you this week.
I was going to say.
We are workhorsing through the week. That's what we do.
That's right.
Yes.
We're doing it.
Football. Nothing but football. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Again, if you've already started your Thanksgiving travels, safe travels to you. As you get to family and friends, we got football on our minds. Drew Dinsick will be with us to talk NFL and a little NBA from both the Deep Dive and NBC Sports Bet podcast. Matt Cox on college basketball. A lot of Pete Futak today. We got to talk college football, man. What a time of year. The end of college football as we know it, heading into next year's new conference landscape, new 12-team playoff format, but this is rivalry week, so we got to talk to him about all the games going on, plus a little sports talk. I'm going to get a little sports talk with college football. I feel like I haven't talked enough about it, and there's some things on my mind that I want to get into with him.
All right.
Like the end of Caleb Williams' career, for instance, which was kind of ended with a whimper a little bit in college football.
Yeah. Harbaugh saying some weird things.
We'll talk Michigan. I always talk about ridiculous coaching decisions in the NFL. There was one that I wanted to focus on in college football. We'll get into a whole bunch of stuff with him. First, though, the NFL last night, the marquee matchup of the weekend, Super Bowl rematch. The Eagles somehow beat the Chiefs in the end, 21-17. That hurt for me, not only bet-wise, but also contest-wise. I had the Chiefs in this one. And we will focus on the main points of this game, because if you missed it, boy, oh boy, the Chiefs have no one to blame but themselves in this one. First of all, 7-7 game. This is after Jalen Hurts was picked by L'Jarius Sneed. We're talking second quarter now. The Chiefs matriculate. They have it first and 10 at the Philly 14. This is a tie game at 7. Mahomes picked by Kevin Byard in the end zone. That was 6:45 left in the second quarter. It was intended for Justin Watson, who had scored earlier. That was a bad pass by Patrick Mahomes. Let's start there.
Yep.
Underthrown. If he had gone wide and deep, that might be a touchdown. So the first sort of demerit goes to Patrick Mahomes himself. But the Chiefs do rebound in that second quarter and in that first half, and they end up with a 17-7 lead at the half. By the way, did you see the spike that set up the field goal, Harrison Butker's field goal to end the half? Do you see that Jalen Carter almost picked off that spike?
So I feel like I've brought this up multiple times. I'm the guy that, especially if there's NBA games going on, I know what's going on towards the end of the half, right? I'm jumping around channels. So I missed it in live action. I saw I saw it all over social media later, though.
It's a pretty amazing attempt.
Okay. My first five times watching it, my reaction was, yo, this is amazing. This is amazing.
It's amazing.
But then, you know what? On the sixth time watching it, this is where I'm going to go poo-poo things again.
Yeah.
Do you really think Patrick Mahomes spiking a ball into the ground like a defensive tackle, even if with your hands right there, that's still a very difficult ball to corral and actually catch?
Of course it is. But the quarterback does have to throw it somewhat forward.
Yeah.
And I just marvel at anything new that we've never seen before.
Me too. It was very, very cool. Yes.
Check mark.
And it was there.
For creativity on that. Anyway, the Chiefs go into the half 17-7. They're up. 10 KC points after the 2-minute warning. Nick Sirianni tried to correctly manipulate the timeouts when Kansas City had the ball, when they got it to 14-7 on that drive, but it was a Philly 3-and-out where Hurts was sacked on a couple plays. You know, this was a and then the Chiefs got the ball back to get that field goal. So 17-7 at the half, and it looked like for those who had the Chiefs, okay, good position. Maybe they can coast in here for the victory and the cover. The second half, though, started out with, you know, a trade of punts. First of all, Philly with a 3-and-out, then a Kansas City punt, then a couple 3-and-outs that both teams traded. And then this is where it started to get. So Philly then makes it 17-14. They had a 7-play, 61-yard drive, only took 2 minutes and 53 seconds. Hurts in from 10. 17-14, Kansas City with 4:05 left in the third quarter. And here's where the shenanigans really started for Kansas City. And remember that Mahomes failure on the would-be touchdown pass to Justin Watson earlier. So this is the fourth quarter now. Kansas City has fourth and inches in Philly territory. Pacheco goes for two. The next play, Mahomes to Kelce. This is deep in Philadelphia territory. Hit by Bradley Roby. Kelce spins. Hit by Bradley Roby. He fumbles. It's recovered by Nicholas Morrow of the Eagles. So inside the red zone, there's a turnover. The second turnover for the Kansas City Chiefs in this ballgame. The first that that Mahomes pick. I don't know if you started getting these, but as soon as Kelce fumbled that ball, the what was he doing in Buenos Aires over the bye week? Why was he not paying attention to football? Those texts started rolling in at right at that moment on cue.
Yeah.
As soon as he fumbled that football.
I'm never going to be a part of that. Like you do what you want on your bye week. I don't care. That is.
Yeah. That's two red zone turnovers. Philly then has a three and out. So Kansas City does get the ball back. Here's where they get it to the Philadelphia 39-yard line. Fourth and four, 9:04 to go in the game. They're up three. And Andy Reid, without seemingly any equivocation, brings out the punt unit.
Yeah.
A touchback,
yep.
Which nets you 19 yards total. Before he even brings out the punt unit, everyone who watches football with any sort of, you know, game, with any sort of knowledge, is like, you got to go for this here. It's 2023. We all know you go for it here. Not Andy Reid. He punted it there, which was super curious. Buck and Aikman say nothing about it. Oh. And you're just like, okay, good God, what am I watching here? And of course, the Eagles immediately matriculate the ball down the field. 80 yards. Hurts took his push from the one after a Hurts to Devonta Smith. 41-yard pass. And the Eagles lead this one for the first time, 21-17. 6:20 to go. Kansas City would have a three and out. Philly would start with 5:28 to go. They would be forced to punt after a big holding call on Jordan Mailata. Chiefs started their own nine with 2:49 to go with one timeout now. They end up with a fourth and two at their own 18. That after a Kelce drop, cue more texts about Buenos Aires and Taylor Swift. Then Mahomes to Kelce for four. They do convert on that. Then Mahomes to Kelce for 13, 15 added on a roughing the passer call on Fletcher Cox with 1:56 to go. And you're like, okay, here we go. The Chiefs are going to get this done. But second and 10 from their own 49, Mahomes deep to Valdez Scantling behind Bradley Roby. Going to be a touchdown off his hands. One of five drops on the night. One more would be coming. That would be one of four at that point for the Chiefs. This has been plaguing them all season. They lead the NFL with 26 drops. The next closest team is the Jets with 20. That was the fourth of five on the night. That one, though, to Valdez Scantling, the most brutal. They could have won the game with that one. And then after an intentional grounding call, Chiefs left the fourth and 25 at their own 34 with 1:35 to go. That one off of Justin Watson's hands. Ball game, 21-17 Philly. 26 drops on the season, as I said. A season high five drops in that ball game. Three on the final drive because Kelce had dropped one earlier. Two red zone turnovers, as we mentioned. One drop touchdown included in that. And Kansas City now, going scoreless in the second half in this ballgame against the Eagles, has scored 5.3 points per second half this season. The Patrick Mahomes-led Kansas City Chiefs, including a grand total of 0 points in the second half the last 3 weeks versus Denver, Miami, and Philly. That's out of control. You know who scored more points than the Kansas City Chiefs this year? The Cleveland Browns. Good God. Hurts, 14 of 22 for 150 in this game. Mahomes, 24 of 43 for 177. Kansas City outgained Philadelphia, 336 to 238. But it doesn't matter when you're dropping the ball all over the yard and you have a couple red zone turnovers. That's the ball game. Eagles get it done. Eagles go to 9-1. Chiefs go to 7-3. We'll do our power rankings later on in the show. But I guess the question here becomes this from a Chiefs perspective. Do you view the drops, again, something that has plagued them all season? Second half droughts have plagued them all season. It's particularly the last 3 weeks, total drought the last 3 weeks. But you view the plague of drops as something that, and especially last night when it was, let's take last night in a microcosm, that was five. They don't ever have five in a game, especially key situations that they had them, and then the two red zone turnovers. Do you view that as a one-off anomaly for the Chiefs? in a season that has been plagued with those kind of errors, but that one was particularly a spate of errors last night. Do you view it as something that will plague them the rest of the way, or do you say, okay, it'll never be that bad again, and they still have the easiest schedule remaining of all AFC contenders the rest of the way? Which side do you land on that, the good or the bad? Where do you spin it?
I mean, look, with the offense and those drops, I don't think you can spin that a good way. I mean, that is, it's this, like you said, it's been a problem all year. You didn't really go address it at the trade deadline. You've whiffed on these guys that you've brought in with Kadarius Toney and stuff. And it's... I mean, Kelsey's all you got, and he's just not getting, he's not getting any younger. Like, this is not going to be, it's just tough to watch. It's tough to watch what Mahomes say after the game, that he could have thrown the ball a little bit shorter to Valdez-Scantling.
He was trying to deflect off.
I'm like, what kind of leader and quarterback do you, are you like, or level is he to say something like that when you put the ball right on him? And then on that fourth down rocket to Watson that hits him right there, they actually had a chance to complete and he can't haul it in. I think it's an issue. I think on the positives I would be taking away, if you are a Kansas City backer, is this defense is for real. And like, they keep proving it over and over again. Yes. And that's the one positive I would take away from this game. And yes, with that easy schedule down the stretch, are you still just going to be able to dominate some of these teams defensively, and this the drops not really be an issue? Yeah, I would probably look at it more that way.
Recognizing their issues on offense, I tend to spin it positively as much as you can. Yeah, obviously, right. That was a disaster last night. But there's a reason why they're the favorite to still be the number one seed in the AFC. That has to do with strength of schedule. Patrick Mahomes and that defense, I'll still take him in Kansas City in the postseason too. But that was tough last night for sure. Drew Dinsick next.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine, so much more than a producer. Live at Bar Canada at the D here in downtown Las Vegas. We will be here all week. Actually, we will not be here. I am told we will be at Circa on Thursday.
That is correct. We will be.
They're letting the kids into the main house. So we will be at Circa on Thursday. So all football for us all week. We will be here live, Kelly and me. And again, so many games to navigate through. I just want to get to these few tweets here before we talk NFL power rankings. This is from Just to Follow Veasan talking about guessing lines yesterday. He said, I listen to pods at 1.8 times speed normally. However, I've never run into Gil, that's me, channeling the micro machines guy during guessing lines. I don't know what that is. And going 3x for a couple segments. Now I'm at 5.4x and confused. The amount of info you got out there in a few minutes was amazing. Yesterday was a particularly dense guessing lines, for sure.
Yeah. Do you ever do that?
Do what?
With podcasts or anything, by the way?
Oh, two times, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I know a lot of people do. A lot of people do. That's why I was asking. I've never even thought
it. If I'm super duper into it, I will ratchet it back to real time, right?
Yeah.
But if I'm just trying to gather as much information as possible, I'll two times it.
Wow. Okay.
People two times me all the time. I'm a two times them.
Sure.
Meltzer texts me. He goes, I'm two times in you right now. I'm 2Xing you. Judd O'Connor, Survivor Sunday is a disaster, but can Tommy Danny DeVito really win two games in a row? Just afraid the Pats bring their D game the rest of the year. I mean, I think he means their defensive game in that case. Brian M., Fowler likely referring to Ricky. He changed sports on you in the previous segment. Thank you for clarifying the previous tweet. Okay. We'll get to the conundrum of Survivor next segment. But first, ladies and gentlemen, guardrails that are NFL power rankings. Plug it in. Oh, 105.7 The Bone.
We rarely let it just play out like that. So it's just a nice little jingle.
Yes. Huh. You can barely hear
usually
the voice.
I'm yelling over it.
All right. So here's the deal. I don't know if you had this reaction to your top 10 power rankings here. Kelly and I use these as guardrails. Again, we don't want to overreact to any one outcome, because remember, recency bias is a huge, huge thing in all sports betting. in all of life, quite frankly. Sports is a reflection of the human condition. But really, in the NFL, it's magnified. Here's the biggest conclusion I came up with before going through these one by one to the top 10, is that I think there is now no longer any controversy as to which 10 teams are in the top 10. Did we have a different top 10?
We do.
Oh, we do. Okay. All right.
We do.
I'm curious to see what you've got then.
I think you're going to laugh really hard at who my 10th team is.
I think that this is the first time all year where I felt like, in terms of the tiers, that there's a drop off after 10 now. So here's how I have it. And it's, I believe there's an unassailable one. I believe you can throw 2, 3, and 4 up in the air and rank them however you want. I believe the bullies come in at 5 and 6. I believe 7 is locked in. And then I believe 8, 9, 10 is the whole thing. All right. Anyway, let's get to this. I got the Niners at number 1. I think when the Niners are at full strength, they are the most complete team in all of football. I think they're the team to beat. I've kind of always felt that this year. They remain number 1. Now, here's where 2, 3, 4, I say you can throw up in the air. The Chiefs-Eagles outcome yesterday was what it was. But I still think the Chiefs, again, in a year where they've had lots of drops plaguing their team, that was a particularly dropsy kind of night where they had 5 of them. They got 26 on the year, but 5 in one game. And again, the 2 red zone turnovers, I'm not going to go crazy. I still got them at 2. I got the Ravens at 3, and I got the Eagles at 4. If you had the Eagles at 2, you know, the Ravens at 3 and the Chiefs at 4, I'm not going to complain either. So
yeah,
those to me are whatever you want them to be.
I'm still, so that's a tier to me.
Yes.
And I'm still in the camp of, you know what, I think you could make a case for almost any team to be number 1 of those 4, I guess, besides the Chiefs, maybe, just because of last night. But
I mean, I've got it 49ers locked into 1, but 2, 3, 4, you know, look, okay, you can quibble. I got the Bullies, the Dolphins, and the Cowboys at 5 and 6. Put them in any order you want there. They crush teams generally, although the Dolphins didn't do that to the Raiders, it must be noted, this past week. They generally crush teams that are worse than them, far worse. And then they, when someone picks on them their own size, they sort of cower. So 5 and 6 for those two teams, Dolphins, Cowboys. I got the Jags at 7. I think they're probably the most solid 7 at this point. I got the Bills back up at 8. After their win over the Jets, I know they are decimated on defense. They continue to be more decimated. But in thinking, you know, in coming up with who was the 8th team, it really does come down to which is the quarterback that I can rely on the most there. And so I got the Bills back up at 8. Here's where it gets funny, because the Bengals were immediately purged from the top 10 for me with the absence of Joe Burrow. The Browns weren't. Only because that defense could be epic. And it is the number 1 defense in DVOA, according to Aaron Schatz's proprietary stat, DVOA, which looks at football at a granular level. So as long as that's still intact, the Browns remain, for me, hanging on as the number 19. And then for the 3rd straight week, I have the Detroit Lions at 10. The issue with the Lions, why they can't be any higher for me, is the defense. The Browns' strength is their weakness. The Lions' defense is a little shaky. Aiden Hutchinson is the only one getting pressure there. And so I got the Lions at 10. But to me, they're also an unassailable 10, because I don't think there's, once you get past 10, I don't think, and Kelly's about to tell me differently, but I don't think you can make a real great case for any team. Houston, Minnesota, maybe you can. Seattle.
It's tough.
It's tough.
So the bigger part we disagree on is that, to me, there's a clear top 9.
Okay.
After that, it gets murkier. And I think the Browns, for me, belong in that next group, just because.
Perfectly reasonable.
A great way of they still have an amazing defense, so that's why they're even alive in this conversation. But I just,
what does it say, by the way, that a team with DTR as their starting quarterback merits like top 10, 11, 12 consideration?
It means the NFL's really bad.
That's exactly right.
It means the NFL's really bad right now with quality of teams overall. So yeah, I'll start for my 10, and I went back and forth on this. I landed on your guy, Josh Dobbs of the Minnesota Vikings.
Wow.
I almost went Houston, kind of batted that around a bit, but landed on Vikings. I do think that they are, I mean, look, we talk about teams that are, do I think they got a chance to go far? No, not really, but I think they are a solid team still.
Outside of my top.
And of all those teams, I probably trust the most, just offensively and defensively balanced. I think there's, you talk Cleveland, you're concerned about the offense, right? Houston, I still think there's some defensive concerns there. But, you know, I think any of those teams you could throw 10. To me, it becomes a little bit more clear when we go 9 up. And the Bills, I don't think we're done hearing more stuff about the Bills, Gil. Like, I just, for whatever reason, I think there's certain quarterbacks in the NFL that we love to overreact to, one way, good or the bad, right? And Josh Allen is like the best example of that. He has a bad game. We all flip out of how could you roll out a guy who turns the ball over this much? It's, well, you're not looking at the good things he does. And then it's the same thing, right? When he has a great game, we all go crazy about how he's the best quarterback in the NFL or one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And it's like, well, you're forgetting about those times he turns the ball over all the time. So I think the Bills are still a quality team. It's those defensive injuries that you brought up that I think are going to hold them back this year. So I got them at 9, Jags 8. I do have the Lions at 7, although I did flip them in the Dolphins this week. I do think that there is that defense that had started the year pretty good, actually, in Detroit, kind of has trailed off a little bit. That is real. And enough that I put the Dolphins ahead of them, which to me, that was actually a mentally significant jump of flipping those two. And I don't really know that I trust Dolphins, Lions, Jags, Bills. Those four teams right there are the perfect, I don't trust the four of you. Like, you are probably tier two in NFL for me, and I don't trust any of those four.
Let's just talk about that word, trust, which I've brought up a million times on this show in so many sports and handicapping. How many teams, let's just look at it from the top, how many teams do you really trust? I mean, especially after last night's game. As shaky as the Chiefs were, and as, you know, unbelievable as the Eagles are, they're still managing to win a couple of these games. Like, wow, how'd they do that? So it's not exactly, I don't view them nearly as powerfully as I do them last year.
No, absolutely.
So how many teams do you actually trust?
It's those five four. On the left side for
it's me. It's four. I don't even trust the Cowboys.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you. I don't know how much I trust them either. I don't know how much I trust the Ravens really either, but I think there are five teams to me. Those are the five teams that can win the Super Bowl to me. Those are the five.
You think Cowboys can win the Super Bowl?
Ravens 4, Chiefs 3, 49ers 2, Eagles 1 to just wrap up the power rankings. Yeah, I think they do, Gil, but only because the way the NFL set up, right? I think the team is good enough that they're going to get in the playoffs, and you never know what happens with injuries or matchups that you get lined up with that they might actually. I do think they have the talent that they actually could get there.
Yeah. It feels like, and again, this might be a prisoner of the moment statement, it feels like there are fewer teams as the answer to that question.
Yeah, totally.
Than ever before.
Just to go back to the Cowboys. With all the mainstream media and how much they talk about the Cowboys year after year after year, I think this year, and not talking about how amazingly good the Dallas Cowboys are, but just how bad the rest of the NFL is in comparison to years before.
Yeah.
I think it just gives them a better chance of winning it and better chance of getting there than in years past.
Yeah. It's definitely, compared to other years, a bunch of these teams, including the Eagles and the Cowboys, or the Chiefs as well, being the biggest of these, not as good, but juxtaposed against the level of play, as trustworthy as they get.
Yeah. Real quick, you know what? I have Eagles 1, 49ers 2. That's a 1A, 1B situation to me. 49ers, I think they have the highest upside going forward.
I think we know our conference championship games. I really do. Sorry, Dallas.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada at the D. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland. We haven't used that nickname for you in a long time.
Yeah,
been
a while.
Been a while. That was an old primetime action thing. Kelly Midland.
Yep.
Black Friday football, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific. The Miami Dolphins at the New York Jetropolitans. The Jets now starting Tim Boyle. Trevor Siemian is your backup quarterback, brought up from the practice squad. And Zach Wilson got the old, we gave you your chance a million times treatment. Now you're not even the backup. Why don't you sit over here? He is the emergency quarterback. Okay, so in a week where, I don't know how many times I can say this, a week where picks are really difficult, in a way that I don't believe we've had thus far this season. And we know this by our reactions on guessing lines. This is a really difficult week. So in a week where you're struggling with contest picks and with bets, and I'll just say that maybe some people aren't, but I am. And I think I speak for a lot of people.
Speak for me.
I think that I've come to the conclusion that this is going to be one of my plays. And I'll tell you why, because mechanically, let's just take the handicap out of it. In a week where you don't have enough conviction on enough handicaps, like I don't have five convicted plays here. But if the Jets are getting 10 across the board, which they are now painted, the adjustment from Zach Wilson to Tim Boyle is a little much, a little out of pocket for me on a total that's at 40. Total that's at 40, you're giving me 10 points. I may have to take the big gulp here and take the New York Jets just from a mechanical standpoint, because that overrides any other light conviction I might have on any other games from a contest perspective at the very minimum.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
No, I think it does. I think it does. It feels like we've talked about this a lot the past couple of weeks, but you're talking about a home dog of 10 points in division. Like, that is a lot. And let's just look at this line movement. It's pretty similar to what we saw last week with the Dolphins when they took on the Raiders at home. And you open up at, like, this opened up 7.5, 8, right? Yeah, it was like 7, 7.5, 8 is where this opened. We've got all the way to 10 already on this game. I'm with you. That is a big adjustment from a crappy quarterback to another crappy quarterback.
Who can't be crappier is the point.
It's going to be very, very difficult to be worse than what Zach Wilson has done.
Nathaniel Hackett is comfortable with Tim Boyle. He was with him in Green Bay. Tim Boyle gets rid of the ball quick. As I say that, I'm like, what could possibly go wrong? Do I love that I'd have to sit through this and sweat this? I do not. If you came back to me and said, hey, Gil, what are you talking about? The Dolphins beat him by 20 in the end. Would I be that surprised? I wouldn't. But we've all watched the NFL for many years. And from a handicapping standpoint, taking a 10-point home dog with a total of 40 ain't the worst move in the world. And there is that narrative of, will the Jets now sans Zach Wilson? That's French. Will they now sort of step it up and say, we're excited to play football now without this guy as our quarterback? Yes, we're 4-6. The season isn't entirely over, even though most of us would have made this move long ago. There's that possibility as well that the Jets sort of rally.
I think you're right. There's probably some injection of life there that you get into the team, knowing that you're still alive for the playoff, right? Yeah. So it's in playoffs. So the coaching staff doing anything to give the players a little bit more hope. Yeah, I'm sure that helps out here a bit. I think the Dolphins, especially after a week ago, betting wise, when you're talking a big number like this, it's hard to get on board with when you saw the Raiders only put up 13 points and the Dolphins didn't cover. That's a mind blowing stat to me, that if you had told me that in a time machine, before the game, last Sunday, man, I would have been emptying every account I had on the Dolphins. So I don't really know that you can't really go into this game playing that same mental game of, okay, well, how many points do I think the Jets need to score to stick around with the Dolphins? Because you would have been way wrong on that a week ago.
Which brings me to the subject of Circa Survivor. There are 372 entries left in Circa Survivor headed into this week in the National Football League. I am not one of those. You are not one of those. But just full disclosure, once again,
in a while,
I'd have been knocked out not only once, but twice. So I don't even have the regret anymore. I'd have been knocked out twice. But I will tell you again that I had this after week three. I decided, let me just do a little mappy poo, if you will. Mappy poo, technical term. I would have had Dallas last week and Detroit this week. That was my Thanksgiving sort of move to save those two teams and then figure out as it approached which to play when. And I played Dallas last week. Detroit was my play this week. And then it comes down to then if anybody of these 372 remaining entries gets through, which many will, but some will not. But if you're lucky enough to get through the Thanksgiving and Black Friday football games, what, for God's sake, do you do on Sunday and Monday, which is its own week, as Thursday and Friday are its own week in the Circus Survivor format? Here's what I had scripted out, Kelly, is that once I got past the Dallas-Detroit-Kiniella, I didn't really have much conviction until saving Philly for Christmas and then Jacksonville week 17. In between, there are 5 weeks of football beginning with this weekend. You know who I had saved when I did this, or at least penciled in? I had two entries, so I had two teams here.
Who?
Tennessee and Minnesota, which held up fairly well. But let's just go down. If we look at the spreads this week in the NFL, let me just give you the numbers, talking about Sunday and Monday, without even giving you the teams. Here are the spreads. 1.5, 2, 3, 3.5, 1, pick 'em, 1, I'm being generous on some of these, 2.5, 3.5. The one anomaly is the Chiefs on the road against the Raiders. They're at in the 9-8-9 range. I don't know how many people saved them, but very few, I would imagine. 4 and 4.5. Now, the Vikings, again, I saved, or at least I penciled in Minnesota and Tennessee. Minnesota is a 4.5-point favorite at home against the Bears on Monday night. Do I like it? Yes. Am I super comfortable with it? Absolutely not. The other one was Tennessee. Tennessee's a 3.5-point favorite hosting Carolina. Same situation. Comfortable, to an extent. I don't know. Like, I think this is going to be the biggest diversity of picks of any week thus far in the NFL. I think you'll have the most different selections there will be. Who, if you had... I think this is also a year, and I don't have the stats to back this up at my computer here, but I think of most years of Survivor, the remaining entries are the chalkiest entries that we've ever had as a collective. Most people don't have good teams left, with the exception of the ones they save for Christmas and maybe Jacksonville like I did. Who would you go with here?
And probably the Vikings. I hear you on that one. I don't know who else I'd really want to be that comfortable going with. It's a brutal portion of the Survivor schedule. I mean, it is, like you said, Chiefs, if you had them, great. I guess that's the easy play, but
I think it's the Vikings or the Titans.
Are you super confident about that? I guess I'd still be using Chiefs if I had them available. Well, I could look at that Titans side.
I think if you have the Chiefs available, you look at the percentages because, you know, there's few enough now where you can actually analyze the rest of the pool. I think you probably play the Chiefs here and let everybody else have their carnage.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
By the way, could you lose? Because the Chiefs have had really tough games against the Raiders in the last couple of years, even when the Chiefs were at their greatest. Sure, anything's possible.
Right. It's like we just talked about with the Dolphins. You're still going on the road and laying a lot of points.
But I think that's how you play it. I think that's how you play it if you have the Chiefs. But if you didn't, what if I said to you, okay, let's just do this one more layer of this. You don't have the Chiefs. And let's say I said you wanted to be super cute with it and not play Minnesota and Tennessee because you have figured, oh, that's who most people are going to play after all. And maybe it actually won't be that many different picks in the end. Maybe this is a big fake out. Maybe everyone will be on Minnesota and or Tennessee. Who's the pick?
The Houston Texans.
Wow, that was a quick answer. The Houston Texans against the Jaguars?
The Houston Texans. Yeah. That's where, as a
1.5-point dog.
I mean, you're forcing me to go to my third option here. So
right, but even as your third option, I'm surprised by that answer.
Yeah. That is the side I think I would feel the most. I think this game is going to turn into a bit of a shootout.
By the way, it's a brutal question to answer.
It's a brutal question. Yes. I think this game is going to turn into a bit of a shootout. But we've seen C.J. Stroud be so amazing all year. Had a little bit of a bumpy week last week. Turning the ball over three times, three interceptions, four for him last week.
Yeah,
that's a little bumpy, but this Jags team's gettable. We've seen them. They've had massive turnover swings this year. They've taken away the ball a lot, but they've given it away a lot. You get a bad game out of Trevor Lawrence. I think the Texans could pull this off.
I want to briefly apologize to you. That's about as good an answer as any. Just scanning these games.
Yeah, there's not many good ones.
Imagine that. You go to a dog. Coming back, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.